Yes, Lord, we come to you and we ask that you show us your vision, Lord. That not our hearts that lead us astray, Lord, but your vision will be what leads us and guides us each and every day, Lord. We need you in this world. We need you in our lives. We need your Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us, Lord. We come to you as just your humble servants and ask that you use us to help spread your word to people around us, to show them the good news, to show them that they are saved, that they can be saved by only you, Jesus, who died on the cross for them and for all of us, and that we can put our trust in you. So we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys may be seated this morning. Thank you, Paul, for leading us. Don't go anywhere. Stay there. We're not done with you yet. We've got some announcements. First and foremost, we've got Paul up here. And Paul informed me this morning that's kind of his last unofficial, official Sunday that he's going to be leading us. And so we're going to miss him. We'll do something more to honor him, but I just wanted to kind of draw a little attention to him and say that we love you, Paul. That being said, yeah, absolutely. That being said, we're always looking for people that want to do worship and want to help lead us from the stage. So if that's you and you're like, I can play an instrument besides like harmonica or something. If you have an instrument, a skill that you want to help lead us in worship, we'd love to have you come out and talk to some of us and try and see if that'd be a good fit or not. Because there's only so many volunteers, and the more volunteers we get, the less that they have to volunteer. So we'd love to have you up here volunteering on a Sunday morning. Also, if you look up at the board up there, we've got women's group, August 29th. That's going to be Megan Caputa. She's going to be leading that. If you have questions, go see her back there. September 11th is when Awana will be starting back up again. Looking forward to that. That's a wonderful kids program. If you don't know what that's about, talk to, who's out here? I don't see him out there. Elizabeth Schaff. You can talk to her. You can talk to Jennifer Howard, who's not here today. But you can talk to Elizabeth Schaff, would be the best person to talk to. And then September 15th, we're going to do our worship auction night. There's a group of us that are going down to Costa Rica at the end of October, and this is going to be our biggest fundraiser that we do. We're going to do a worship night paired up with an auction. We'll bring lots of desserts in, so bring your taste buds and bring your checkbook, and you can buy up the best winning auction items that you want to get. And then September 19th is our Thursday theology group. Christy and I are going to be leading that again. We started that in the spring. If you weren't a part of it and you still want to be a part of it, come talk to us. You can still join. It's not a problem at all. And then September 22nd is our next diving deep study. And it looks like we're going to be getting into Genesis 6:4. If you don't know what that is, look it up, and it'll be a good topic for us. Right now, we're going to go into our 5 minutes of prayer. So if you want to start playing for us. And I want to look at Psalm 95. I know I read the beginning of that, but if you want to look at that as well for your 5 minutes of prayer, you can do that. If you know that you have a sin that you need to confess to the Lord and you need to ask for forgiveness, you can do that as well. If you want to pray with someone else, feel free to get up and walk over and pray with them. If you want to pray with me, come pray with me. Otherwise, let's pray to the Lord for 5 minutes. Thank you. Lord, we lift up these prayers to you and know that you are a God who still listens and still answers prayers, Lord. So every single prayer request we bring before you, and just continue to remind us, Lord, that you are our God, a loving, gracious God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to release our junior church this morning. If anybody's going downstairs, you can go ahead and head downstairs. Good having you up here with us. Now get out of here. Thank you for our wonderful volunteers who serve each and every week as well. So we're going to be starting a new series. Those of you that were here last week, Kevin kind of outlined some of that. That in this new series, we're going to be talking about worship. So what is worship? As we start this new series, I'm going to be introducing it today. So I'm going to be giving like the 40,000 foot above airplane level view. So we're going to be going through a lot of scripture today. So make sure you have your Bibles open, your thumbs ready. You might be creating some smoke with the way you're going through your Bibles today. So it's going to be a little bit different. Instead of going having one set of scripture and going through that and picking that out and reading through that, we're going to be flipping all throughout the Bible today, just to warn you. Okay, so it's a little different than normal, but it's still going to be good, I think. Kevin is going to be doing some preaching as well in this series, and Dan Smith's going to be preaching a couple weeks as well. So I think next week and the week after, Dan might be preaching. I'm looking forward to having Dan preaching there as well. We're pretty excited. So the title of this message today is worship. So as we look at that, we're going to be answering those questions up there today. Who, what, where, when, how, and why? All that encompasses worship. And so what is worship and why do we do it? But before we get to the teaching today, I want to ask you a simple question to get your brains thinking, right? Because it's important. We're not just sitting here going, we want to think a little bit, right? So, question for you. What is the greatest thing that anyone's ever done for you? Or how have you been honored before? And you're like, that was a really special moment to me. For me, I think back to 16 years ago when we had just moved back from North Carolina. We moved back here to be around family, and I was looking for a job, and I found a teaching job in Mount Morris, and I was working there for a year as a fifth and sixth grade math teacher. And that year, it was a pretty nice year. I enjoyed teaching the kids, and towards the end of the year, I got a special award, and I didn't know I was getting it. I got Teacher of the Year award that year working in Mount Morris, and it was voted on by the students. And that was really such an honor to me to get this award from the kids that gave it to me. So I asked that question, is what is the greatest honor, greatest award that you have ever received? Does anybody want to share theirs? Got something in mind? If not, that's okay. Think about it and remember that as we talk today. Okay, get those Bibles out. You got them out? Your fingers, rub them together. Get them good. You're going to need them. Maybe your cell phone. Your cell phone can be a little faster sometimes. So if you got that, you can use that too. When you think of worship, what do you think of? Hands. When you think of worship, what do you think of? David. Singing. Brothers. The brothers were coming up with the same answer. Singing. When you think of worship, what do you think of, guys? Prayer. Okay. What else? Mark. Life, okay. Emma? Relationship with God, okay. Sacrifice, ooh, that's a good one. Honor? Praise? Yeah, I think all those work, Joe. Giving glory to God, okay. Obedience, yeah, we're going to touch on all those. Good answers, guys. You guys are thinking already this morning, I like it. So when I think of worship, I think of all that stuff too, but to be quite honest, what I really think about is people praising God like we just did through worship, through song, right? I think of people in church singing and praising their hearts out, or maybe at a concert where you're singing, or maybe bowing down, right, and surrender to God. That's the first thing I think of when I think of worship. Yeah, all that other stuff, absolutely, as I start to think about it a little bit more, yeah, it comes up to mind, but the first thing I think about is when we're singing and praising God through song. I remember some powerful moments when I've been in those moments of praising God, and it usually involves music and singing. One such time was when I was down in Mexico, and we had, Blake and I had gone on a mission trip down there, and I was honored to be able to speak and preach for a message, and I preached about David, and as I got done preaching, we had some time of worship, and we were able to sing to the Lord, and I was preaching, and I looked around, and there was probably about 75 people, and hardly any of them spoke English. The only reason why they can understand me because I had an interpreter next to me who translated everything for me, right? And as we got done worshiping, I looked around, and probably about 30 minutes, we were all just praising the Lord in our own language. And it was such a powerful moment. I don't think there was probably a dry eye in the place. The Lord's presence was certainly there. It was one of the most powerful moments I've ever had with the Lord. And so when I think of worship, that's one of the moments that comes up to mind to me of our Lord and Savior and who he is and what he's done for us. Or there's other times where the teenagers have been to Flower City Work Camp, right, or Saturate. Those are some powerful moments of worship where we've been singing and praising the Lord. But it's not just those moments. So can we worship at other times other than just in a church, at a concert, or when we're together like this? How about other places? Does worship always involve singing in a church? Let's look at the definition of worship. So what? We're going to answer that what question first. So the definition of worship, as a noun, the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. As a verb, treat someone or something with the reverence and adoration appropriate to a deity. So that's the world definition of worship. But we want to look at probably the biblical definition of worship, right? Because that's probably more important to us than looking at the world's view. So the world's view is that we want to look to Scripture. So open up your books to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. While you do that, I'm going to grab my water. So Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And notice I highlighted, love the Lord. Okay, as we're going through today, you're going to see certain spots in the scripture that I highlighted and I wanted to draw attention to. So love the Lord. What does this mean to love the Lord? So the Bible defines worship as a response to God's magnificence, and it's a key part of our relationship with him. It involves loving, honoring, and obeying God, and acknowledging and celebrating his power and perfection. Worship is about the heart and goes beyond singing to include all of life. Some of you hinted on that, right? It's more than just singing. It's life, such as eating, drinking, working, resting, walking, and sleeping. It also involves serving others, obeying God's commands, and doing good deeds, right? And Mark, I think, was the one that said life. Like, that is, to me, what worship is. So what is worship? Worship is giving our life to Jesus, right? And loving him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength. That is what is worship to us. So we now know what is worship. Let's look at the next question to answer. Who? So we can look at who one of two ways. We can look at it in terms of who do we worship. We can also look at it in terms of who should be worshiping. So we're going to answer both of those. So who or what do we worship, and then who should be worshiping. So think back to the definition of worship again. Loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. We can worship many things in this world. Think about being out in the world, all those things that we can worship. Many of them are good things, right? God created them. and they're good things. But let's think about that for a second. To me, I came up with a quick list of things that we can worship. Houses, cars, kids, sports, our spouses, golden calves, right? We can worship all that stuff. Is that stuff necessarily bad? No, I wouldn't say so, right? You should be loving your kids. You should enjoy your house, right? You should enjoy your car probably, or maybe not. Those of you that don't like cars, I like cars, so. Sports are fun, but are you worshiping these things? Are they the center of your attention? Golden calves, does anybody have a golden calf in their house? Hopefully not. Think in your own mind, what are other things that you worship that you're like, yeah, that's kind of become the center of my attention? Now let's look biblically at who we should worship and who should worship. Okay, first scripture, Psalm 95. We just read through that one. Psalm 95, 6 through 7. It says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So as I look at that, Lord, our Maker, that's who we should be worshiping, is the Lord, our Maker. Him alone should get all of our heart. Next one, Luke 19, 37 through 40, but this is 37 through 38 here. And this is when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on a colt. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mountain of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then 39 through 40. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Or how about when Jesus is going to be tempted by the devil here? We're going to look at that one. So Luke 4, 8. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Or let's look to Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do we have breath in our lungs? Yeah. So who should be praising the Lord? All of us. All people. Especially people that believe in God. Right? We should absolutely be praising God. But it says that all people should be praising him. In fact, if you don't praise him, it tells us when we just read that even the rocks cry out if we don't praise him. So we've answered the who and the what question. Now, let's look at the where question. Where should we be praising God? In church on a Sunday morning, right? Yes, but there's more. In the Old Testament, it was believed that people needed to worship God in a specific place, or at least sacrifice these idols or sacrifice these sacrifices in a specific place. But let's look and see what Jesus says about that. Let's flip to John 4, 20 through 24. So John 4. In this section here, Jesus, he's talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. So it says, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. So right there, there's a time coming where, yeah, you can worship on this mountain, but you're going to be worshiping in other places as well. Verse 22. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. So when we worship in spirit, we're not concerned about everything that's going on around us. We're not concerned about, you know, what our best friend is doing. We're worshiping God in spirit. We don't need to worry about the outward appearance of what we look like when we're worshiping, because we're focusing on God solely. We also don't need to worry about the place of worship. It can be anywhere. To worship in truth means that we worship according to the whole counsel of God's word. Jesus is the word, and he is the truth, so we are called to worship Jesus. We come to God in truth, not in pretense or a mere display of spirituality, not saying, oh, look at me, I'm so much better than everybody else because of the way I worship. No, we're not worried about what we look like when we worship. We're worshiping God, no matter where we are, in spirit and in truth. We can certainly worship God in a specific place. We worship him on Sunday mornings here at church, right? But it doesn't have to stop here. We can worship him in our home. What about in our car? Can we worship God in our car? Yeah, absolutely. It gets kind of hard when someone cuts you off, right, and you get mad. No. Sometimes that's the best time to worship God, right? Because you're angry and you can go to God and be like, God, help me. What about when you're running or walking or at work? But I can't do that. I can't worship God at work. Yes, you can. You absolutely can. We can worship God wherever we are. Okay, so we've answered the what, the who, the where. Next question. Let's look at the when question. Some people, if I ask them, when should we worship God? Sunday morning. That's when I worship God. That's the only time. I go to church on Sunday. That's the day of the Lord. That's Sunday. That's when I worship Lord. Sunday. Let's talk. Right? So let's look at this. When do we worship God? Let's look more at Scripture. So the first one we have is Psalm 145, 1 through 2. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. What does that say? Every day. It doesn't just say Sunday, but every day we should be praising the Lord. It's important. Psalm 59, 16. But I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Even in the morning, I have to praise you, God? I'm not a morning person. I don't do mornings, and I don't do people. Like, I have to praise you in the morning, too? I can barely function in the morning. Yeah, we should be praising God at all times, even in the morning when we're barely awake. Did anyone else just hear that? I think we've got a squirrel up in our attic, up in our roof. So if you know any good exterminators, you might need one. I heard him a couple weeks ago, and Paul was up here doing worship practice this morning. He was banging on the stage. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I think I heard a squirrel somewhere. So we should be praising the Lord in the morning as well. Even if you're like, I need 5 cups of coffee before I even function, that's okay. That's the best time, once again, to praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When should I give praise? Always. Not just when I choose to, not just when I want to, but always. Next one is 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 24. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. So, I should be doing this day after day, not just the days that I want to do it, not just Sunday because I go to church on Sundays, but every day. So as I look at all these scriptures, to me, they just point to, it's not just a one-time thing. It's not just a once-a-week thing. It's all moments of all day long. I can be praising the Lord. Do I? No, I don't, right? I'm just like everybody else. There's times where I'm focused on myself, and I don't praise the Lord like I know I should. But I should be praising him, and I can praise him each and every day. How about Psalm 71:8? My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. And one more, just in case you haven't gotten it. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So always rejoice in the Lord. Doesn't have to be just at church. It can be anywhere, anytime. That's one of the things I love about praise is people can take away all my rights. I can be thrown in a jail cell. Hopefully I'll never have to do that. But I could be thrown in a jail cell and I could still praise the Lord. And people would never know that I'm praising the Lord because they can't take away my communication with God our Savior. Okay, so now we know that answer. Let's look at the how question. How do we praise the Lord, right? So, Josh, you've done a good job. You've outlined things for me, and I know all these. But what about the how? How do I praise the Lord? How do we worship God? Psalm 95, 1 through 2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. So we can sing to the joy for Lord. We can shout aloud. We can come before him with thanksgiving, with music and song. Right? So those are ways that we can praise him. How about Psalm 9:2? I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So once again, we can sing to him. We can shout to him. We can use music and song. We can dance to him. And most of us do this on Sundays, right? We sing to the Lord. And hopefully some of us do it as well during the week when we're home. But is this the only way to praise God? No. Let's look at Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. How do we worship, or how do we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God? Because it tells us there, right? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. How do we do that? God, do you want me to lay down and on an altar and give up my body? Is that what that's saying? No, I don't think so. Let's look at Psalm 105:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Ooh. So you want me to give up my body in a living sacrifice. And when I do that, part of that is making known his deeds among the peoples. Oh boy, Lord, now you're pushing it. You want me to go out and share the gospel with people? I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't want to do that. That's why it's called a sacrifice, right? A living sacrifice. Giving up our wants, our desires to go and do that. It's not easy when you're walking through the store and you get the Holy Spirit dropping you in your spirit and you're like, I have to go talk to that person and tell them about you. But I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to. If it was easy, everybody could do it. But that's the sacrifice part. We have to sacrifice our hearts and be like, okay, God, I'm going to go do what you want me to do. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to talk to this young boy and tell him about Jesus. Hey, can I tell you about this person who died for us? He came down on the earth, right? That can be hard to do that when you're called to do that, to step out of your comfort zone in a store when you don't know that person. How many people have ever had to do that before? You don't need to put your hand up. But if you've done it, is it an easy thing to do? No, it's not usually. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you go and share, they're like, yes, tell me more. But oftentimes when you tell people about Jesus, they're like, oh, that's interesting. Thanks for letting me know. But we need to offer our bodies up as a living sacrifice. And that's one way that we can do that. What about going to a soup kitchen and serving people that you wouldn't normally interact with? Is that a way to offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice? Yeah. What other ways can we offer up our bodies as living sacrifices? What do you guys have? Shout it out. Walking in holiness. Yeah. What else? Tithe. Yep. Giving. Yeah. Just being obedient no matter what the situation is, right? I didn't have this in my notes, but I'll share a really quick story about Christy. She went down to a conference once, and she was, it was down in, where was it? St. Louis, right? Is where you were. She was at a conference down in St. Louis, and it was during the riots, when they were having riots down there, and she walked out, and she wanted to spend some time with the Lord, so she walked out of the conference and was walking through the streets, and she was there, and she felt the Holy Spirit dropping her and say, don't go back the same way that you went. And she's like, but I'm in a city. I don't know where I am. I want to go back the same way. And he's like, I'll lead you. I'll guide you back, but don't go back that way. So she went back a different way, and when she got back, she saw this huge mob of 200 or 300 people coming towards the conference building. And if she would have went back the same way that she had come, she would have ran into that mob. She didn't know that at the time, but she gave up her obedience to God and be like, okay, I'm going to listen to you and let you guide me. And who knows what would have happened if she didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. And that's just one of those moments of, she could have absolutely disobeyed and said, nope, I'm going to go back the way I want to go. I'm not listening to you, God. But she listened. And it was an easy decision, right? Sometimes it's harder. But we need to make those decisions to listen in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Brian, are we going to praying for other people, right? How many of you have ever been called to go and pray for someone that you didn't know? You know, you're walking around on the street and the Holy Spirit drops in you. Go pray for that person. You want me to pray for them? What are they going to think about me? That can be really, really hard. What other ways? Mark? Purity and integrity, right? Ooh, those are tough. Yeah. What else? Giving to the homeless. Right? Yeah, all good answers. If we are praising God and giving our bodies as a living sacrifice, we are making God known to those around us. And I think that's the most important thing that we can do, is tell people about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, and what Jesus did for us, how he died on the cross for us, how we're all sinners, and how we all need a Savior. So we have one last question to answer. Why? Why should we praise God? First and foremost, I think the easiest answer is because it's commanded throughout Scripture. As you look through Scripture, you're going to find it again and again and again. I could have probably pulled up 100 scriptures that show us that we're to worship God. I've got a couple of the good ones I like here. The first one is Luke 4:8. And we already quickly talked about that, but this is where Jesus is being tempted by the devil. So Jesus answered, It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It's commanded to us to worship God right there. Serve him only. Or how about Psalm 95:6? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. He is our maker. He created us. We should be worshiping him. Isaiah 25:1. Oh, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Right? Once again, you are my God. I am called to worship you. Or we recently went over Mark 12. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second one is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. It's laid out right there for us. We are called to worship our God. And as I look at these scriptures, and to me it looks as if I'm worshiping God, if I'm loving God, I'm worshiping him. Okay, that's all the scriptures that I have for you, minus one more. So let's flip, and we're going to be in Malachi a little bit longer. So let's flip to Malachi 1. We're going to be reading through 6 through 14. So Malachi 1. And as we look at Malachi 1, some of you are probably thinking, really? We got to go back to the Old Testament? I like the New Testament. I don't like the Old Testament. The Old Testament's still good. We're going to look at Malachi 1 in particular. This is a section where the Lord is using Malachi to speak, and he's talking specifically to priests in this section. But I think it's important for all of us to be able to understand a little bit about worship and sacrifices and what this looks like. So 6, a son honors his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where's the honor due me? If I'm a master, where's the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt to your name? So as I look at this section here, the people, they're calling God, right? They're calling him father. And they call him master. Yet they're not honoring him and showing him reverence. How many people do you know that call God their father, or yes, he's my God, but they don't follow him? They don't worship or honor him. Verse 7. By offering defiled food on my altar, but you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not working? Or sorry, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would you be pleased? Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. So let's think about this for a second. I invite you over to dinner. Chrissy, she's a good cook, so I'm going to say, hey, come on over. You can have some of Chrissy's food. And we're going to cook up the best steak you've ever had. So you come over, and you're all excited for the steak. We're not good steak people, so I wouldn't invite you over for steak, just to let you know. We cannot cook steak. Something we fail on. But let's say we've learned how to master steak, so we're like, come on over for steak for dinner for our house, and you come over, and you sit down, you're like, this doesn't look like steak. Like, yeah, it's meatloaf. How many people would be disappointed? Yeah, probably most people, right? Because... well, I'm not saying meatloaf's not bad, but you were expecting, like, the best steak, right? And instead, we gave you this lame meatloaf, right? We gave this meatloaf that wasn't very good. So this is what people are doing. They're offering up these sacrifices to the Lord. They're saying, yep, come, we're going to sacrifice these animals, but you're not going to get the best animals. Instead, you're going to get the blind and the lame and the diseased ones, the ones that we don't really want. See, we had steak set up for you guys, but we decided we wanted to eat it ourselves. So we're going to save steak for the other night. Instead, we're going to give you meatloaf tonight. That's what the priests are doing. Instead of giving God the best, they're giving him the things that they don't really want. Verse 9. Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. God is saying here that he would rather not have a sacrifice because they're offering these defiled animals at all. He'd rather not have a sacrifice. So we need to be careful about how we're presenting ourselves to God. Are we giving him the best, or are we giving him our meatloaf? Meatloaf's good, but it's not the best, Paul. So are we giving the Lord our best? I can see it now. I'm going to get someone inviting us over for dinner. We're going to invite you over for dinner. We got the best meatloaf for you. I like meatloaf, just to be clear. I've got nothing against it. If you have something against meatloaf and you want to email someone, email Kevin. You can tell them about meatloaf. Verse 11. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible. So they are offering these bad sacrifices. And the Lord is saying that his name will be great throughout the world. True worship will extend all over the earth for God. It doesn't matter whether we give the best or the worst. That true worship is going to come forth, but he's looking for our best. Paul, you want to come on up? Verse 13, and you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and you offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Verse 14, cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. As I studied worship over the last couple of weeks to get ready for this sermon, I came to realize one thing. I, or even you, we really have nothing to offer God. Think about that. We have nothing to offer God. He created us. And without him, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to praise the Lord unless he created us. So I have nothing to give to God except for the worship and the praise, the best that I can give him. If I don't give him my best, then I am no better than the priest giving lame and sick animals in a sacrifice. If I just come in here on a Sunday morning and I'm just down like this, being an Eeyore, and not even thinking and praising the Lord, am I giving him the best I can? Probably not. If I go into work tomorrow and I'm like, yeah, that message was really good. I know I'm going to worship the Lord wherever I am. And I go into work tomorrow and I walk in, Caleb's my coworker, and I walk up to Caleb and, let me tell you about that kid down the street, what he did this week. right? Am I worshiping the Lord the best that I can? Probably not. So think about these questions. Who, what, where, when, why, how? We are called to worship the Lord always. And are we always worshiping the Lord or only on times when we want to? I'll be the first to admit, I'm not good at this either, guys. I need help worshiping the Lord always as well. So I'm not pointing fingers at anybody saying, you need to worship the Lord more. I need to worship the Lord more. I need to do a better job at worshiping the Lord in every single thing that I do. So I asked you at the beginning of the service, what was the greatest honor that you have received? For me, it was becoming Teacher of the Year, voted on by those kids. So I ask you today, what is the greatest honor that you can give to God? If you love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you are called to do that, to me, the greatest honor that I can give God is by telling other people about God, about Jesus, about what He did for us. That's my goal, is that I want to get better at that. There's times where I've walked through the store and I've felt the Holy Spirit drop me, go pray for that person. And I didn't, because I was scared. There's times where I know I should have went and did something, and I didn't, because, quite frankly, I didn't want to. And I wasn't giving God my best. I was not worshiping Him. I was not praising Him the way that I should have been. So I challenge you this week to think about ways each and every day about how you can worship God in your daily day. So let's go into our last song, and then I'll come up and close us.